Today is March 26, 2010. I'm Sherry Bowers, Local History Coordinator of the Milan Berlin Township Public Library. And I am sitting here with Jim West of Jim's Pizza Box and here at the restaurant. And we're going to talk a little bit about the picture that Larry took 20 years ago here of Jim in his restaurant and talk some about the business and the community and all that he has done for the community. So, Jim, you said you've been in business how long now?
32 years.
32 years.
Yes.
And you started out here in Milan?
In Milan, a little carry out that we moved over to the Eastman Building store. And then we've been here ever since, but 32 years total.
Okay. So this building before it was Jim's Pizza Box, was a grocery store?
Right.
Okay, so that was Kramer's grocery store, correct?
Right, Cardinal Store, Kramer's, and then Eastman's purchased it from them, and then we purchased it from the Eastman's.
And it was a carryout first?
Carryout, where the buildings fell down, where the Frankie's Bar used to be. I had a little walk-in carryout, a little small building, and then we 4 years, I think, in there. Then we decided to make the switch over to this building, and it's been a nice ride for 32 years. I've been, and I think I have another 18 years to go, so I'll be here at least 40 years.
At least 40 years. Well, that's good to know, because I look back in there, and I want to talk about actually the picture first that was taken 20 years ago, and when Larry came here to retake your picture for this project. What was interesting is that the same white bucket and this instrument, which I'm sure is for making pizza, correct?
Yes.
That's a pizza roller?
It's a dough docker.
A dough docker.
Yes.
Okay. The same, those two items were in the picture that he took 20 years ago again. So.
I think the cutting board, the knife, I think the ovens are definitely the same. I think it pretty much, we haven't changed much in the last 32 years.
You know, that's what's interesting to me. I had the opportunity to speak with Jeff Giesen about his barbershop, and some of the tools of his trade, so to speak, have not changed as well. He uses basically the same things that he's used 20 years ago.
Jeff Giesen was cutting my hair in my apartment when I first got married before he got his license. That's how long I go back with Jeff. So I remember him cutting my hair before he even had his license. He was doing it for everybody. We'd line everybody up, he'd come over, he'd do four or five haircuts, we'd pay him, and off he'd go. You know, so it was fun. We had a good time.
And you had, the only thing that's different from both your pictures now are the glasses.
And I don't have the beard anymore.
And you don't have the beard anymore.
Yes, yes.
You know, I'm looking at the pizza boxes lined up here. Were you doing a lot of carry out at that time?
Yes.
Okay.
We were doing more carry out than we were dining in. We just moved down here, and the carry out wasn't catching on. I mean, the dining room wasn't catching on as well, but it's over the years it's turned the other way. We have more dining and we do carry out now, so it was a big part of our business. That's why I have so many boxes folded.
Okay.
Which we still do. We've been blessed.
Do you think that's because, maybe because of the community part of Jim's? Because I guess there's some restaurants I think about that I wouldn't want to carry out. I want to go and sit in the restaurant. And maybe it's the familiarity of people in this community that they'd rather come here and sit than carry out because there's...
I think people come here for the dining experience because everybody's here. I mean, mm-hmm. On Wednesday night, everybody and anybody was in here for spaghetti night. Okay, it was just the place to go on Wednesday night. And then it's a meeting place. Even now, see these kids coming back 20 years later and they're having a class reunion, and you see it in their little flyers or somewhere in the paper, class of... 85 is meeting at Jim's Pizza Box for a reunion meeting. And so they seem to meet here at the Wonder Bar, or they'll start here and end up at the Wonder Bar. But it's nice to see that they still call this the place where they met in high school, and they're coming back 20 years later to have more meetings here to plan, you know, parties for, you know, like they did 20 years ago. So that's nice. I have kids that come home that stop here, the Frederick boys used to stop here on the way from school before they went home because their mom had their meals all planned out for them. So they would stop here and eat what they wanted from me first, because once they got home, there's no chance of getting away. Mm-hmm. So I got hundreds of stories where the kids would, you know. But I've been really blessed over the years. I've got a lot of loyal customers. I've watched a lot of these kids grow up, some cases four generations. But it's been a good ride for me. You know.
Do you think in the restaurant business when, or how much, especially with in light of the recent economic difficulties in this country, do people still want to eat out, or have you seen a change in the business or this last year?
Big change. It's the worst I've seen in the 32 years I've been here. I've never seen it this slow. People got to cut somewhere, you know. It's got to be pizza. It's got to be the extras that you don't normally get. But 20 years, 30 years ago, I was here. There weren't a lot of places. There weren't all the pizza places in Norwalk. There were all the ones in Sandusky. There were very. When I was here in 1978, Brown Derby was the main place to eat in Sandusky. There wasn't Fridays, there wasn't Chili's or Applebee's, you know. I think Fanny Bears came in, and they came in and left within a couple of years. There weren't any restaurants. And now we're saturated with food places to eat. There was one McDonald's, you know. Finally got another one, and, you know, they have three or four McDonald's in Sandusky now. So the places to go eat are just, there's so many, and it's saturated. So census say there's X amount of dollars in Erie County going to be spent on food, mm-hmm. Fast food or pizza. Well, every time another place opens up, people don't spend more and go out more. Everybody's piece of the pie gets shrinks a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, but, you know, you try to stay on top of your game. You try to, you know, good service, good food, clean atmosphere, friendly atmosphere. You try to win. You don't change that. That's the staple of how you run your business. If you can stay true to that, then your people still come back. Mm-hmm. Just treat them right. That's all you got to do. They'll come back.
You know, I can remember when you talk about, like, carry out, too, with all the pizza places that are around. I know that I can remember years ago, there were, between here and the sandbar in Heron, there were a couple places you just really, well, all you did was go somewhere and have your pizza. Yeah. You know, you didn't carry out.
Sandbar. I made their very first pizza. Sandbar pizza. Yes. I worked for Duke Legando back then.
Yes, that's when I remember the sandbar opened under Duke.
I made his, I came over there, I left, I was at Frost Top making pizzas.
I remember Frost Top.
Okay, I made their pizza, and I left there and went to the sandbar, and I made Duke's first, I mean, I started making pizzas for Duke, and the sauce recipe is my mom threw something together for us, and that's how we got, but I worked for Duke for years. You know, Duke and I are still great friends, the family, he still comes in, and but we go back a long way. So yeah, I work for the sandbar as well. So,
did you know, this is something I've asked some of the other business owners, were you certain that you were going to go into this business, or did you have something else in mind, or did you always know that you wanted to get into the restaurant business?
I've been asked that question 100 times. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how this all happened. You know, I didn't know. I mean, I worked for Canals Vending. I worked in the kitchen at the hospital, Providence Hospital. I worked through pizza places through high school. I've been working three different pizza places. Left, came back, left, came back. So finally at 21, I said, you know what? It was funny because wherever pizza place I go to, the customers that I had at one place would follow me to another. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I'm going to do this on my own. You know, and that's how I just said 21, I gave it a shot, frustrated with how things were going, and we started out at 21 years old, and here it is, 31. No, I can't. But it's I don't know how. You know, I sit back and it just happened so fast that, but it wasn't planned. No, not planned. I don't know how it got started, but here it is. You know, didn't plan on working this hard my whole life either, though. Mm-hmm. It's a tough business. And but you meet a lot of people, and like I told you earlier, the downside of this business is over the years I've met a lot of great people. And it gets emotional at times when you have to go to a funeral, or sometimes you go to a funeral of the kids that work for you. You know, I spent hours and hours with Fritz Spohr. You know, when he died, it was like, you know, I lost a great friend. You know, and Larry Derner. You know, hours and hours I spent with Larry Derner. And I mean, the list goes on and on of great people, women and men that I've had coffee, had numbers of couples of coffees with over the years. I've seen them more than I've seen my own family. Mm-hmm. So the 32 years has been great, but boy, it's now I seem like I'm every time I turn around, I just went to a Mark Macras funeral. You know, mm-hmm. He's 47 years old. My God, how sad. But that kid was here, come out and see me 3 or 4 times a week when he was high school. They hung out with me, socks. Every time he comes into town, he'd stop and get a sub or just stop and say hi. That's, you know, you built a lot of friendship. Not that you don't see him all the time, but they think a lot of you, and it's sort of, but they're my success story. Mm-hmm. All these people, all these kids on the wall, those are my success stories. They're the reason I'm doing so well, you know.
And I look around it before... Before we sit down for this interview, I'm looking around at all the pictures, and you know, I see my son. You know, we live in Berlin Heights, and you sponsored a baseball team, and you know, my son's on there from 4 years ago with his baseball team, and I remember coming in here, not only with that team, but just coming in here to eat and coming in here as a team, and there you are, Jim. We always see your face, and I look at all the, great. You know, awards you've given, but it's all about community.
Oh.
And business, and how you, and that, it's really fascinating, too, to look at how many years of plaques and sponsorship you've given.
Yes, it's been a, you know what, we received the Man of the Year award 1 year, and that was a hard award to accept for me, because there are a lot of people that have not received that award in this town that I think was more deserving than me, you know, at the time. Sometimes I still think, you know, there's people that should have received that award long before I ever received it. But it was still a nice honor that people in the community thought that of me. But they've been a good community. I could not do what I do unless they were giving back. And very supportive. You know, it's got to be a two-way street. I can only... give if it's coming in. You know, I mean, in business, you have a budget and guidelines to follow on how much you can spend each year. But if you have people who, I mean, so, yeah, it's sometimes a little bit tough, but how do you say no to a kid who wants $50 for a sponsorship, you know, and you've watched them grow up, you know, and you dig a little deeper sometimes, you know, and I got a partner that sometimes it, you know, she understands why I do it, but sometimes, you know, she's like, hey, put the brakes on here, you know, we gotta get caught up on our bills, and she's very generous as well, and she understands, but sometimes, you know, she says, hey, we gotta get caught up here, you know, you need to, you know, and I do understand, but it's hard. I say, you know, it's easy for her, because I have to face them, you mm-hmm. know, it's hard for me to say no, but I've been fortunate enough that my partner's very generous as well, and doesn't buck the system on you. She knows how important it is, you know, but her pressure is the bookkeeping part of it, and that's sort of, you know, I'm not there, I'm not pushing those numbers, so it'll be tough for me to say, yeah, this is, she said, hey, you know, but it all works out, but it's been a good run. It's, I mean, some of these pictures of these old coaches up here when they're, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they don't look the same anymore, mm-hmm. and it's sort of comical to watch them come in and look at those pictures, like, get that picture off the wall, you know, it's like... Mm-hmm. They ain't going anywhere, but it's. But I've had a lot of fun. I met a lot of great people, and I don't think I would want to be anywhere else, you know. But I'm in here and doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been good. How long have you been here?
Well, I've lived in this area since I was 7 years old, and I'm 46, so 39 years. I actually grew up in the Milan Township area, and then what? And I went to Huron because I was right on the border. And then I lived in Sandusky for a while after I got married. But then we moved back out to Berlin Heights because my husband grew up kind of with the Vardarella family.
Another great family.
Yes. Did Vardarella.
Yes.
His uncle. Did.
Did.
Okay. Did. And Evelyn. Evelyn is his mom's twin sister. So he had a lot of fond memories growing up here. And... so, yes, I've been in this area, so I can remember Eastman's, I can remember a lot of the businesses, but I've always remembered Jim's, and I can remember eating here. And my niece and nephew are in the Edison band, and they...
We've been Edison supporter of the band for years. Now, you graduated from Heron?
Yes.
What was your main name?
Letham.
Letham. Mm-hmm. He had to be my brother. You must know my brother Steve, then. Steve West?
Yes, I do.
Steve Cotton?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. I do. Now it's...
Yes. Steve would be a couple years older than you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No kidding. So you're way too young for me to know who you guys were. I didn't know the younger kids.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But that's great. I mean, it's like I said, then you know, you can feel how everybody feels around it. I mean, they do a lot of fundraisers. Mm-hmm. And I'm overwhelmed every time I do a fundraiser. Somebody in this area, the outpour of generosity that people give. We just go and watch these people. There's 300, 500 people show up. And you know what? They're all strapped. You know what? Somebody needs something, here.
And you've supported and had fundraisers here over the years, haven't you, for people?
Yeah. I
know.
Yes, we've had a few. We don't do it as much in here anymore because they're not big enough. The place isn't big enough to support that many people, you know.
That's a good thing to hear that it's not, that you're not big enough for at least that, for a fundraiser like that. That says a lot about the community.
You're right. We used to have them here, and we thought it was big, have 100 people. It's way beyond that now. You know, it's 300. Every time we plan a fundraiser, they plan 300 plus. Mm-hmm. So, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. That's, you know, but I think this interview speaks to, especially having it here. We could have had it at the library, but having it here speaks to what you do. You're open for business. You have, you know, these games that people still play and come in here and have pizza. That's,
yeah, we've been, I honestly,
that's a nice sound.
You know. I've been blessed, and like I said, someone asked me a long time ago, do you want to win like the lottery? I said, I've already won. What do you mean? So I've won the lottery. Got a great family, great wife, great kids. I mean, great customers, great friends. I said, I've already won. I've been blessed, truly blessed. You know, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else but where I'm at right now. Mine in Ohio, it's good. It's all good. I have a hard time doing interviews because I don't like talking about myself per se. I like to talk about other people, but not about myself.
Well, can I ask you a little bit about the pizza business? Because you said your mom put together the sauce for the first pizza that you made for Duke.
Yes.
At Sandbar. So your sauce is that same recipe?
Same recipe. All these recipes are my mother's.
Okay.
Okay. And I've taken a lot of vows for Jim's Pizza Box. But my real, real success are my family at Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they put their butts off for me. They do a nice job. I mean, I take all the risks. I put my name on a dotted line. But my real success is the people that back me up. It's always been my family.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be, my first wife and my stepchildren, they're always put on the back burner because I was trying to grow in the business, you know, so they took a beating. And then now here it is, I'm remarried and I have another set of children, and then being put on the back burner. Those people are the real heroes, you know. It's my sisters that I call, you know, at the last minute, hey, look at it, call off sick, can you go in? The real troopers are them. They've always been there for me. I could not be where I'm at if I didn't have that support system over the years, which would have been my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been really blessed.
With your business, when you started out as a carryout making pizza first, how quickly did you add to your menu? Because I know a lot of people love to come here for your chili and some of the other things that you have here. In fact, for my parents, it was always a ritual to come for some of your particular items that weren't necessarily pizza.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that. How did that progression start? So first pizza and then?
It was pizza subs. We had pizza and subs. That was it. And it was a terrible sub. I don't even know why people bought it. I didn't like it. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We moved down here, and then it was slow. We had 8 tables in this whole place. So all I had was 8 tables. And my mother would help us, and my aunt would come up and they'd work and they'd make stuff. And Larry Smith, they call Smitty around town, here, Smitty. He'd come in for every day for lunch. He'd sit with my mom, my aunt, we'd talk. And my mother said, why don't you do a spaghetti night? Back in the old days, the trucks would say, Wednesday night spaghetti night. You know, it used to be on all these food trucks, you know. And Wednesday was a slow day for us. And we said, give us a chance, because we're closed on Monday. Tuesday, they make the sauce. Wednesday, Smitty goes, that'll be a great idea. He goes, if you do it, I'll work on Wednesday nights for you. Just put the ball rolling. Start off, spaghetti. They were selling 20, 30 dinners. We thought that was great. At one point, before we opened the hearing store, we were selling over 300 dinners on a Wednesday night spaghetti.
Wow.
Yes. It went gangbusters. Then we said, okay, so our lunch, we started. That's how the Smitty Sub became the Smitty Sub. We'd make a sandwich, and Smitty come every day for lunch, so we were always trying to spicing up his lunch because he was getting the same thing because we didn't have a big menu back then. So we threw a little bit of this on, a little bit of that on. And Smitty would eat the sandwich, and people come in and say, well, Smitty, I'll have what he's having. You know, and next day someone came and said, you know, I think he made for Smitty. Hey, I'll have one of those things. You know, I saw it the other day. And then someone came in and said, you know what? He made one of those things. He made Smitty, Smitty Sub. I go, and we're putting that on a board. So we call it the Smitty Sub. It's something he started making. We made for him, and everybody wanted it, so we named the sandwich after him.
That's great. That's a great story. I see that on your menu. I don't think I've ever had, though, a Smitty Sub, because I tend to get people the same thing, so I'll have to try.
They're a big seller. They're probably one of our, they are probably the hottest selling sub we have as a Smitty Sub, by far. You know, and Smitty can play it off all he wants. Smitty is that hard exterior, likes to be that tough guy. He's the biggest sissy I've ever met. I'm not kidding you. He's got a heart of gold. He always like he's the tough guy, but there's nothing he would do for anybody.
And move over Harvard Business. It was very simple.
Yeah.
A local community, a person here from the community comes in and wants the same old thing, and you add to it, and then all of a sudden, you don't need a business plan from book from Harvard to understand this.
No, you're right. You know, it's just giving people what they wanted, keeping it simple. And if you look at this whole town, I remember this was a crazy town, the bar fights going on, and Jim Ward did a nice job keeping everybody in line. I remember I couldn't even take a Friday night off because the bars were so crazy that I couldn't leave the girls working by themselves. So I had to hire a guy to stand and watch the place so no one aggravated my girls while they worked. And Jim is another one who's done a lot to keep this town nice, safe, comfortable. Mayor Bickley, we talked about him earlier. There's nothing he does. You can go on and on about Bob. You can say what you want to say about the man, but his heart's all about Milan, Ohio. You know, the guy is... Where's the emotion on a shirt sleeve when it comes to Edison? He's done a lot for the community. I think it'll be a sad day when Bob hangs his hat up as mayor. And it'll be sad. It'll be sad for mine because that old boy does a lot. A lot of people don't even know what Bob does. You know, so overall, if you look at all the leaders, like the Derners we talked about, even old man Glenn Rockwell, he was another great. I didn't know him as a mayor, but I heard he was a good mayor, he was fun. All these are customers of mine that are getting older now and they're starting to dwindle away. And so, but I wish I would have grew up in that era, but to know them in their heyday when they were, tough guys, and now they're grandpas and they're sort of mellow. And but I hear all these stories how tough of a person they were, I don't know if he was a hard guy, to deal with. And I don't see that in some of these guys because they're so, I guess I've changed over the years too. I've mellowed over the years, but we've got so much fun. You can't hear about Charlie Fisher, the fire department. What a great fire department we have. One of the best volunteer fire departments around. It's this whole community we talk about. They're all good. It's all good. it's been a really nice ride for me for 32 years.
You're open, you only close one day a week, correct?
Mondays. And that's so my family can get together and celebrate any birthday that we miss during the week. We all work together, so we need a day that we can get mm-hmm. still get together as a family and share, you know, traditions. So, mm-hmm. but we don't do any holidays either. Mm-hmm. You know, Labor Day weekend. That's because I've got a captured audience. But, you know, 4th of July, we're closed. Christmas, we're closed. Thanksgiving, we're closed. Mm-hmm. It's time for family. You know, it's mm-hmm. not always about the almighty dollar all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's, I've had a lot of fun over the years.
Well, and I suppose, too, being a business owner, you know, you like to be here and see what's going on. I mean, it's rare that I've come in here and I don't see your face.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen you though over at the Heron one. It's probably because I tend to come maybe here more at different times, and you know. But I recognize you right away and where you're sitting. You always.
I'm always somewhere. You know, I work almost every opening hour. Work here like Thursdays and Tuesdays. I'm here in the day over there any time. I work Sundays over there. The rest of the time I'm over here. So I spend my time as much as I can, but it's a good. It's good. It's fun. I mean,
Jim, I want to ask you about employees and the work ethic. Has it changed much? Because you have the same. I know you do employ college age kids, and you have. I know a lot of your employees have been here a very long time. Have you seen changes in the employees or turnovers?
Yes, more
so now than ever.
Not as much now. I take less. Because the market's saturated. I'm sitting on 150 applications right now. The government, it keeps raising the minimum wage, which, you know, it's hard because that just passed out on consumer, but we try not to pass the whole total thing down, so we cut back on labor, mm-hmm. make our kids work a little bit harder like the old days. I run with more people now than I ever did. The kids today are not as strong as they were. Mm-hmm. We buckle. I'm going to do this. And my son was just talking about being under a lot of stress. He just opened his own business, and he said, I'm juggling a lot of things right now. And I let him talk for a few minutes. I said, look, kid, suck it up. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is separates the big boys from the little boys. I don't want to hear about how tough your life is, okay? This is what you need to go forward, okay? If it were that easy, everybody would be doing it, mm-hmm. okay? So, but again, it's pampering. We pamper our children. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm guilty, not as guilty, because my kids leave here. And when I hire an interviewer, I tell them during the interview, I won't treat you any different with my own son or daughter. Mm-hmm. If you need a boot in the butt, you're getting one. You need me to put my arm around you and talk to you, door is always open, you know, but you need to be able to excel after you leave the pizza box. If I sugarcoat it and make your life easy here, you're going to think everything is a walk in the park. You're never going to ever grow. You know, mm-hmm. I needed my kids to work hard here, take these work ethics that I instilled in them, and take it on with them the rest of their life. Because if you're a putz now, you're a putz when you're 30. I've always said that. You need to grab that work ethics. And I had a girl, Spriggs, she worked for me. Her mom works at the school. And she wanted to go to, she had tickets to Ohio State game. She got dropped on her lap. And I told her, I said, sorry. She goes, why, you know? She goes, well, someone said she's just going to call off. I said, let her do what she wants to do. And she called me. And see her, Rich, she called me. And so I got tickets. I said, honey, I said, it's short notice. I don't have anybody to call in. You make your own decision what you're going to do. I said, but you're on the schedule. Mm-hmm. She came to work. Totally impressed by that. Mm-hmm. Most kids would have took the easy way out. No, they wouldn't have had a job. Mm-hmm. Okay, you picked. Okay, mm-hmm. Now if I let you pull that number on me, I've got 60 employees, I'd have chaos here. Mm-hmm. She made the right call. I used her as an example in front of her at her meeting. I thought that was a very adult decision you made. I couldn't have been any more proud of you and my daughter that day making that decision to come to work. Big game, you got tickets, good seats. and you passed them by because you had a responsibility. I said, girl, you will go places because of that decision. Good for you. You know, and it was a hard decision for her. Mm-hmm. But you know what? No, she needed a pat on the back for that because most kids would have ducked out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's hard. You don't have a problem correcting somebody who's doing something wrong. But you better man up when it comes time to give them a pat on the back when they do something good. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't keep tearing people down. You got to try to motivate them. You know, that's what I try to do. I try to come in here like a chiller. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. I'm tired of drinking those full throttles just to get by each night, you know. Mm-hmm. But if I can't lead, they're not going to follow.
You know, one of the things I've, in doing these interviews, I've listened to business owners talk about this. And I remember that, you know, I told you I'm 46 when I first started it, you know, at my first job. And the importance of that mentoring and teaching, because so many people don't realize, they say, well, this is just the job until you get to that job, you know, that college job. And that is so not true. At least I found with myself, and this is kind of what I hear from so many people like yourself, is that it's the mentoring and teaching, helping teach these certain skills that are workplace readiness skills that, you know, you can read about all you want in a book, but you really have to experience them when you're working.
Right. And hands-on. I'm 54 years old, and I still do dishes. Yeah. When my crew's back there, they're drowning, and they're working their butts off, we're busy. You know what? I jump back and I do dishes. I do dishes probably 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Not beneath me to do dishes. You know, my team is working hard. And I had a lazy crew last night. They were just goofing around on the lawn. We were busy in here. And then I just said, you know what? I'm not helping them out. They're not trying to help themselves out. They're back there having a good old time. Guess what? Didn't lift a finger. Normally I don't do that. I don't mind if you're trying hard and everybody's working. Mm-hmm. But you're out there playing, you know, doing this and showing pictures on your phone and all that stuff. I'm not going back into this room. Do it yourself now. You know what I'm saying? If you guys want my help, show me you're trying. You're struggling? No, and they didn't. So I said, hey, let's do it. And normally I would do it for them. But no, I don't mind helping them out when they need help and they're honestly working hard. But I said, no, next time you want me to help you, don't be screwing around all night long. Mm-hmm. Okay, I told you guys earlier, let's get going. You guys laughed and had a little joke, and I said, you know what, that's fine. So I said, shame on you. So now it is, they're going, hey, you know what, it's 10 o'clock. I said, can't help you. We're not done yet. No one's going home. So, but it was, but they need to learn, you know. But if they're working hard, I'm right with them. I don't mind. You know, I'm a hands-on. I don't, I know you see me sitting out there a lot, but I do spend a lot of time working.
Having worked myself in the restaurant business, my mom did, I understand. It's, you learn a lot because it's here and now, and there's not a lot of room, it seems like, for error. You have the service, the food.
Yes.
It only takes a series of mistakes to start changing things for you.
A lot more depth than you think. You know, it's like I do the hiring, I do the firing, I do the discipline, I make the orders, I do the scheduling, mm-hmm. and make the menus out for both stores for eating. There's more to it. Every hour I spend on the floor PRing, mm-hmm. that's an hour's worth of work at nighttime I got to do when we close the doors. Mm-hmm. So every time I spend on that floor, which is important, to get out and talk to the customers. So sometimes I don't put my pencil down until 2:30 in the morning before I go to bed, mm-hmm. you know. Then I got to get up at 8 o'clock or 8:30 with the little ones, and that's all good too. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. But people don't see that part of it. Mm-hmm. They all think as you own a business, oh, it's not there. It's hard work. I don't envy anybody who's self-employed. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I know how hard they work. I don't care what job it is. If you have that pressure on a day-to-day basis, you never relax. You know, I never relax.
You don't leave it at home, do you? Or no. You can't leave it at work?
No. Well, the only time I relax is when I'm closed that week. That's why I close. I have to close both stores because I know that phone's going to ring. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing's going wrong. The oven didn't go down. The air conditioner went out. I don't worry about nothing. I'm not doing anything. Can't nothing to be. That phone call home can't be any kind of bad news, you know? So it's, we close down, take a week. And it's good for everybody's morale, you know, all the kids. So. But it is harder than you think sometimes. And restaurant is not the thing to be in right now. It's doggy dog for everybody. And everybody's mm-hmm. struggling right now in the food business. So we're hoping it changes around and we'll do good. But I'm not going anywhere, so it doesn't matter, you know.
Let me ask you, what's your favorite item on the menu?
Oh, God. Everything.
everything.
And I could be skinny if I really wanted to be, but you can't trust a skinny cook. So it's hard for me to keep this weight up. I just want everybody to know that. No.
Okay. So,
I like the smitty subs. I like our pizza. You know, I love the studamata pizza. I don't have a favorite. I really don't. And it's hard because my wife would want to cook me a birthday dinner. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a favorite. I don't have a favorite. Mm-hmm. And I can't boil my whole life down to one thing I really, you know, except she'd like. So it's, come on, look at me. I like everything.
What do you think probably is your best seller here?
Well, pizza by far. That's what we're known for is our pizza. In the sandwich department, I mean, pepperoni by far is your number one seller across the board at every pizza place. But the sandwich would be the Smitty sub. The taco salads are a big hit here. Mm-hmm. Our salads in general, because we cut fresh every day, we do with bagged lettuce. So we are the taco salad is a real popular salad here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the spaghetti, of course, we go through a lot of spaghetti. But those are that spaghetti sauce is my mom's recipe. So this is, she's came over early in the 1800s. My grandparents from Italy, and she was born in the same house that we were all raised in.
Mm-hmm.
So I pick her brain for, and you know, like I said, without these recipes, I wouldn't have anything. These are all hers. The ranch dressing, whatever we did, my mom had a hand in it. All the soups, so.
You do have, I know that there are a couple people, even from the library, that really love some of your soups. There's a couple that are, the mushroom soup is a big one.
Yes. Chicken noodles are one of the famous. We went through a lot of chicken noodle.
Mm-hmm.
The chili is by far. We sometimes, during the winter, we'll do 11, 12 gallons of chili in one day. So, I mean, it's a lot of chili.
Like I had said before, my parents, there was chili was a big deal to come over here for your chili.
Yeah, see, a lot of people do. Just chili. Chili and a garlic bread. You know, mm-hmm. It's a bit over 32 years. I've made a lot of good friends. A lot of memories. Tons of memories. You know, and then you go to a funeral, and it's some laughter along with the sadness, then because you start telling some of the stories, and but it's been all good for me. I've been really blessed to have the friends that I have, and the customer base that I have. I've been fortunate, honestly. I've been very, very lucky. Yeah.
And you know, looking around here at the walls, I think I would guess that most people would say they're lucky to have somebody sponsor them and have a business. And look at, you know, all the kids that have worn Jim's Pizza Box shirts for the baseball teams. It's nice to look around and see all of that. You see jerseys hanging here and photographs.
Yeah, it keeps me focused. This kind of stuff keeps me, I know I'm going in the right direction.
Have you ever had any famous people from around in Ohio? I'm looking around and thinking, especially with all the sports pictures that are up here, anybody famous that's come through here to eat at Jim's that you can think of?
Oh, God. Bob Bickley, Fred Deering. The guy over there, individual, is Andre Davis, who played for the Browns for a while.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. Andre Davis, okay.
Yes. I've had a few, Todd Blackledge, old football player many, many years ago before he turned pro, was in here. I can't remember.
Interesting. You know, just a couple more comments I want to make. Some of the other things, too, I wanted to point out, I think people need to know, is in appreciation, too, all of those plaques that are here of the things you've done. Like you said, you know, where you're very humble about saying, you know, receiving the Man of the Year award, but there's a lot of in appreciation for the things you do, and I think that's something important to note. Here.
You know, I think the fact that I'm still busy and I'm not going out of business, I've been here 32 years, speaks a lot of volume. They do appreciate what I do, you know, and because there are a lot of places you can go get pizza, there's a lot of places you can get spaghetti, but they keep coming back to Jim's, which is a which is a nice honor for me. You know, it's when kids come in and they talk about our tacos for the Mellon Festival, it's just like, you know, they go on and on and on, and yeah, it's very warm. I mean, I've been touched by a lot of people in my life, just having to come back and just come back and say hi, or, you know, Jim, do you remember me? I'm getting older. They got to realize that it's not as easy to remember these faces from 20 years ago. But I'm still batting 90%. I still, you know, give me a few seconds and something about them, their manners will change, and I'll remember. I might not get the right name, but I'll remember who they hung around with or something. And so I try to impress them that way. But I think my really, I feel that they do appreciate, and that makes it easy to keep. Bye-bye, folks. That's why it makes it easy, okay, for me to continue, because I do think they appreciate it. You know, it's they have big hearts here. I mean, really, they're push come to shove. I feel really comfortable here. I mean, it's like too comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's being a long term marriage. You know, you just don't. You get too comfortable in the comfort zone. That's how I feel in my life, which isn't always good, you know. But I'm blessed to have the customers I have, and I know, and they're good people. You know, Miami's a great town. You know, we're lucky to be in such a small town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been in big cities. I don't know how they do it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't get the support. Like when someone gets sick or someone has cancer, you don't see those in big cities. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you don't see them in a suburb, but not in a big city. Well, you know, live next door to someone for 10 years in a big city and never know who they are or what their name is. So we have a good here. I feel anyway.
Well, it certainly has been interesting. Like I said, interviewing people about during this whole project, and I certainly can feel that coming in here and see the appreciation. And anything else you'd like to add, Jim? This has been very insightful, and thank you.
I hope I didn't bore you too much, but it
hasn't been boring. It's interesting.
Sometimes my thing is going on and on about, you know, it's probably a lot of people that I didn't touch base with, the names and stuff. It's just overwhelming. But I've truly believe that this community is a very strong community. They're well put together. They do a nice job for people. I know people have been at these things, and some of them don't get along, but man, when things get ugly, everybody shows up, and I admire people for that. Mm-hmm. They put their differences aside because of a bad situation. And I know you've been here long enough to know the feel what I'm talking about is not far from the, you know, it's all true. And
yes.
just talking about the people. It's nice that you guys are, this is great for my grandchildren, my children, because without this kind of documentation, all this is all done, you know, mm-hmm. it's forgotten way too soon.
You're right. And that's why we thought it important to do. And you know, and the thing is that even the little things that some people think, oh, really aren't a big deal, or maybe, you know, talking about the Smitty sub, how something like that becomes a Smitty sub,
yeah.
You know, an item, a Smitty sub, or just the little things that, you know, you realize how connected we are. So that's, I think, the importance of documenting this. And I thank you, Jim, for this interview.
And I appreciate the opportunity.
Do.
Well, thank you.